Good morning, everybody, or I guess I should say afternoon. Happy lunch. We are back for another midweek edition of our Q&A. As many of you know, during this Breaking Culture series that Gary and Brian are currently preaching through, we want to just take a break every Wednesday and take a moment just to answer a couple questions based upon the message. And so welcome, Gary. Glad that
Thank you. You're here.
Yeah. This past week, you preached, I would say, probably not the easiest sermon on just a purity in a culture of lust.
Yeah.
And I think you handled that with such grace. It was so good. And so I just have a couple questions to ask, and maybe we can engage in some dialogue along the way.
Great.
I love that in the midst of a lust, breaking the lust culture message, you talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And I feel like you have to, right?
Right.
In that, you said that the Holy Spirit is really a key to empowering us to break culture.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of us, the Holy Spirit can be the most confusing person of the Trinity. I think if we just simply call the Holy Spirit a person, that may be confusing to some people. And the Trinity is obviously God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Man, I know you talked about this in your message a little bit, but can you give us just a little bit of an overview of who the Holy Spirit is and what role the Holy Spirit plays in our life today?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
For those of you watching at home, this is Richard's 50th birthday.
Very old.
This very day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's been a good day.
Yeah, well, you're an old man now.
I am an old man.
Yeah. And the role of the Holy Spirit, we'll go from old men to the role of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit really is the third person of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. We say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the message, you know, I just picked out four things that I think are very, very critical as far as what the Holy Spirit does in our life. First of all, he's the companion. You know, it says in Scripture, "Do you not know that you're God's temple?" And so the Holy Spirit lives within us. Galatians 2:20 says, "No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And so we know that in some way Jesus Christ lives in us, but we also know that we're the temple, the house, the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. So when we start talking about breaking culture and breaking this culture of lust with a culture of purity, I think it's important to know that we have a companion for the journey. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in us than the temptation that's in the world. And so the companion is huge. Second, what we talked about is that he's our spinach. Mm-hmm. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit is you know, spinach to Popeye. It's that which empowers us. Paul talks about, and we talked about this in the message, how we want to do good, but so often we do the bad that we don't want to do, right? And we don't do the good that we do want to do. Well, only the Holy Spirit can give us or empower us, I would say, to do that which we want to do. So he is the spinach, the engine, the power. And so he empowers us. Third thing is he guides us. He's our GPS. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And you know, didn't have a lot of time in the message to go into it, but I'm telling you, the way the Holy Spirit guides me generally is by bringing to mind the Word of God. And so you're facing something, thinking about something, or how am I going to respond here, or what should I do here? And it's amazing how God just brings, the Holy Spirit brings to mind the very Word that the Holy Spirit inspired. And so the Holy Spirit really is our GPS. It just guiding, directing, left, right, straight, slow down, turn around, repent, you know, that kind of thing. And then the final thing that we talked about Sunday, at least, is that the Holy Spirit convicts us. In the Gospel of John, it says, "Good that I go away. If I go away, I'll send you the Helper. The Helper, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And so we said the Holy Spirit is not just our GPS, but is also the alarm signal. when we are drifting off course into an area where Satan is going to steal, kill, and destroy something good in our life. The Holy Spirit, just like an alarm bell in the cockpit of an airplane, just begins to sound the alarm. And so that's the role. He is with us. He empowers us to obey. He guides and directs us into obedience and sounds the alarm when we get off course.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful. And I think it's always good for us just to gain in our understanding of the Trinity and understanding of each of the roles of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much for spending a couple moments and talking about that. Now, as we continue, I want to ask another question, but really this question kind of has two parts, and I'm going to ask them both and just let you tackle them, all right? So what would you tell the person who feels like they have been just swallowed up by the culture of lust? You know, as you gave that message on Sunday, I just can't help but thinking, I just kept thinking that there's probably some that were even in the room or some that in their homes that heard it and just felt a lot of guilt and possibly shame and just like, well, what do I do with that, right? So that's the first part. And the second part is part of the first is what's the next steps? What are the practical steps? Now I feel this, what I believe conviction by the Holy Spirit, but we would a lot of times interpret that as guilt, and then a lot of times that plays out into shame. What do we do with that?
The first thing I would say to somebody that's just really been consumed, defeated, or as I said in the sermon Sunday, somebody that instead of breaking culture has been broken by culture, right? And instead of living opposite of culture and demonstrating what life in the kingdom looks like, they've embraced culture and demonstrated what life in the world looks like in their own heart and soul. First thing I would say is just to offer a word of grace. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing we can do to make Jesus love us anymore, and there's nothing that we can do to make Jesus love us any less. He loves us with all of his heart, and nothing is going to change that. We are his kids. We're his children. He's our father. We're his kid. And so I would definitely just offer a word of grace. You and I were talking a little bit earlier, and just this analogy comes to mind. We've all seen people who have really been defeated by gluttony or even sloth. And then that kind of begins to play out in their body. And yet we see something just click someday where they decide, you know what, I'm going to change my diet and I'm going to start working out. And their body just goes through this entire transformation, you know. And the truth is, it can be the same way with anything that has defeated us, including lust. We can have that same kind of transformation if we're willing to put in the hard work. And so I would just offer grace and say, man, God can do anything that you ask him to do in your heart and life. And then the second part of the question is,
practical steps.
Okay, practical steps. Honestly, I do believe that when we start focusing on, okay, what I do if I've been broken by lust instead of breaking culture with a culture of purity is this. To recognize that lust, in one sense, now I'd want to kind of, you know, add some caveats, but let me just state it like this. Lust is not the problem. Lust is honestly the proof. The problem is that we're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit.
I love that. Yeah.
The proof that we're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is we get broken in culture by lust. And so it's not the problem, it's the proof. And so.
And it's just one of many ways it can manifest itself.
Absolutely. It's just one of many. Right. And so it's just one of the proofs that we're not walking in the power of the Spirit. So I would say the first thing is walk in the power of the Spirit. That's the whole point of the message. And I think the whole point of what Paul was saying in the book of Galatians. And so how do you do that? Man, you read the Word of God, you pray, and you obey. And when the Holy Spirit sounds the alarm bell that you've drifted off course, you repent. You turn back from where you were headed, and you turn back to Jesus Christ in obedience. And so you're reading the Word of God. It's hard for God to direct or guide you if you don't have his guidance in your heart and mind. And the Word of God is our guidance. It is the truth, and it leads us into all truth. So you have to be reading. You have to saturate, renewing your mind. And that's through the Word of God. You got to be praying, but then you got to be listening so that you can obey. The Holy Spirit's the GPS. You got to be following the direction. And then when you hear the alarm bell going off, the Holy Spirit convicting of sin, judgment, and righteousness, you got to be willing to repent. You know, and that's the first thing. But getting even more practical than that, and I think that's very practical.
That's very practical.
Yeah. So I shouldn't say it that way. But I'm saying somebody's going, okay, but anything else you can tell me?
You know, with that, and before you get to the next thing, just the definition of walking in the Spirit is helpful, right?
Yeah.
The fact that walking in the Spirit means praying.
I'm reading, I'm praying.
Confessing.
Yeah. And I'm following and obeying, and then I'm confessing when I blow it.
Yep.
Right? So I'm reading, I'm talking. I mean, I'm listening to God talk to me. I'm talking back to God. But then I'm following, I'm obeying what He tells me to do. And then I'm confessing when I blow it. That's
super
walking in the Holy Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. That's walking in the power of the Spirit. So, and then getting just more, you know, practical even than that, I would say, you know, if you want victory in this area, just as you need the Holy Spirit as your companion, I also think that you're going to have somebody that's flesh and blood,
right?
That's your companion. Iron sharpens iron, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love, I heard this like 6 months ago, and I've repeated it like 2,805 times already. But when iron sharpens iron, sometimes sparks fly. We all need somebody around us that can be honest with us, somebody that can hold us accountable. The fact is, if we are accountable, if we are talking to someone and we bring someone into the struggle of our life, we are far more likely to be obedient in that area. If you work out, you work out on your own, okay, you may or may not work out. But if you're meeting someone, I ride bikes. And, you know, last night I rode when I got home from work with my buddy Paul. And if I hadn't been riding with Paul, I mean, it was hot outside.
Right.
And I was tired. And I didn't really want to go ride. But Paul, I knew, was going to be at my house in about 5 minutes. So I rode. And so you need somebody that's holding you accountable. You got to be transparent. And that's the second thing I'd say. You need to bring somebody in the conversation, and you're going to have to be transparent. If your struggle is with lust, where does that struggle get triggered? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have to bring transparency there.
Yeah.
And so is it on a computer screen that it gets triggered? Then you're going to have to bring transparency there. Maybe you're only looking at that computer screen in the living room with family around, something like that. So
That's super helpful. Man, I love that.
So,
and with that, I think that there's always also an invitation to discipleship, right? When you're talking about walking in the Spirit, and you talk about also practical steps of somebody walking alongside you with accountability.
Absolutely.
One of the most best ways that can be done is through a discipleship relationship. And that's kind of a big deal for us around here.
It's a huge deal.
So I would just like to give an invitation to any of you out there that if you want more information about what it's like to enter into a discipleship relationship with someone else, put it in the comments, send us an email, contact us. We would love to be able to have that conversation with you for sure.
Yeah,
that's super
absolutely
helpful. So we close, I'm reminded that our Mayor Eric Johnson, has called our city to a prayer and fast today, really just for prayer to eradicate the coronavirus, that God's presence would move mightily in our city. Prayer for our healthcare workers, et cetera. So I thought it would be good for you just to close us with prayer.
Yeah.
And then also just want to give an invitation. If you're listening today, why don't you just take a couple moments of your lunch hour and just spend some time in prayer for our city and our healthcare workers, and really that God would just move in a mighty way.
Amen.
So why don't you close
Amen.
Us in prayer?
Yeah, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would raise up followers who live in such a way that we break culture instead of being broken by culture. I pray that even people listening right now, Lord, that you would raise up followers who would break culture with purity mm-hmm. in a culture that is really inundated with lust and impurity of all manner. So, Lord, I pray for that. But, Lord Jesus, at the very same time, I pray for our city. Lord, we have just been rocked by a virus. And Lord Jesus, people's lives have been upended health-wise, job-wise, profession-wise. Lord, just our lives have been upended. And Lord, we are asking you, we are praying to you, would you bring healing? Would you eradicate this virus? Would you let there be some kind of vaccine that is developed? Mm-hmm. Would you let, Lord Jesus, there? Would you just cause an immunity to be built up? Lord, we are just asking for your deliverance. We're asking for your healing. We're asking for you to pour out your blessing. And Lord, finally, I pray, I just really pray with all of my heart, Lord, that you would use this for good. Mm-hmm. You cause all things to work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, I pray that you would use these days to remind us of how desperately we need you. I pray that you would use these days and even this virus to just initiate a revival and an awakening in our city and across our land. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see you on Sunday.